Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a vision for you big book study. My name is Melanie C. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Friday, June 1st, 2018, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. And today we are reading from the big book, and we are in the chapter How It Works, and we're on page 66, starting with paragraph 2. If we were to live is where that starts, and we will end on page 67 with Thy Will Be Done, and we'll comment on all three of those paragraphs today. Today's readers are Nan K. for the 12 Steps, Leslie M. for the 12 Traditions, and the readers today will be Penny L.C. and Sherry K.B. The reference numbers for yesterday's 10 a.m. meeting, that reference, well, I'm calling it a reference number, but it's a share ID number, actually, is 11481. That would be for Thursday, May 31st. It's 11,481 for the 10 a.m. And for this morning's meeting, the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, that share ID number is 11487, 11,487, Friday, June 1st. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose: to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Nan K. to please read the 12 steps. Star 1, please. Nan, would you press star 1, please? That will unmute you to be heard.
Sorry. I'm Nan, and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Michigan. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. 1, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol, over food, and our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for the knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening at the results of these steps, we tried to carry this message to the alcoholic, to the compulsive overeater, and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Pass.
Thank you, Nan K. I will now ask Leslie M. to please read the 12 traditions.
Good morning. This is Leslie M., recovered compulsive overeater. I'd like to thank you, Melanie, for your service. The 12 traditions. 1, our common welfare should come first. personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. Thus, problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is a spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for allowing me to do service, and I pass.
Thank you, Leslie M. Our sole purpose. No, that's not what I want to read. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute, and once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. So today we resume our study, and we're studying in the Big Book on page 66, chapter How It Works, paragraph 2, If We Were to Live, and we're going to read through three paragraphs today that end on 67 with Thy Will Be Done. And I'm going to ask Penny L.C. to open us this up by reading those paragraphs and commenting on those paragraphs. Good morning, Penny.
Good morning, Melanie. This is Penny L.C., a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from the state of Washington. And the reading is, if we were to live, we had to be free of anger. The grouch and the brainstorm were not for us. They may be the dubious luxury of normal men, but for alcoholics, these things are poison. We turned back to the list, for it held the key to the future. We were prepared to look at it from an entirely different angle. We began to see that the world and its people really dominated us. In that state, the wrongdoing of others, fancied or real, had power to actually kill. How could we escape? We saw that these resentments must be mastered, but how? We could not wish them away any more than alcohol. This was our course. We realized that the people who wronged us were perhaps spiritually sick. Though we did not like their symptoms and the way they disturbed us, they, like ourselves, were sick too. We asked God to help us show them the same tolerance, pity, and patience that we would cheerfully grant a sick friend. When a person offended, we said to ourselves, "This is a sick man. How can I be helpful to him?" God, save me from being angry. Thy will be done. As I go back to the beginning and I read again the first sentence, if I were to live, and I added in there, spiritually fit, I had to be free of anger. I can't afford, you know, that for me it was a temper tantrum. It was raging, and it was wanting my way under all conditions. And yet, how did that serve me? Not very well. And so I had to realize that these things I couldn't afford. And because otherwise all I would be was restless, irritable, and discontent, and ruminating again and again on how I'd been hurt by someone else. So when we turn back to the list, okay, so when I go back and I look at the fourth column, I know now I get to get down to the truth. Where's my part in this? And so, and I have to be willing to, you know, to flip it, to look at it from a different angle and ask myself, am I truly willing to do that? Am I truly willing to set aside the first three columns, so to speak, especially the one where I was pointing out how someone had wronged me, and turn it over and look at what my part was. And when it says, these resentments must be mastered, but how? Well, it's the same way I was able to put the food down. And it wasn't by my will. It was by being able to turn it all over to my higher power. Only by God's will am I going to be able to let go of these resentments. So there's my plan. I've got to be able to look at these people as spiritually sick, just as I was and just as I am, and will continue to be as long as I recognize that I need to seek out God's will. And what I also came to understand with that these people on my resentment list were really my greatest teachers. I actually could come to have gratitude for them because they were teaching me more about myself than I realized. But the bottom line is I had to be able to go back and look at each one and see my side, and then be able to say that resentment prayer and asking God to please allow me to open my heart and see my side and see that this person is sick, and how can I be helpful by being accepting, understanding, compassionate, by being able to be what God would have me be and to follow God's will. And what a gift it's been to be able to do that metamorphosis. Thank you for letting me share, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Penny L.C. We are in the big book, the chapter How It Works, page 66, paragraph 2. If we were to live, reading through three paragraphs today that ends with Thy will be done. Going to focus our comments on those three paragraphs. Would anyone else like to comment on those paragraphs?
Gina R.
Courtney B.
Ginger C.
Courtney B.
Gotcha, Courtney.
Kathleen O.
Paula D.
Paula.
Sherry K. B.
Sherry K. B. Let's stop there, please. I have Gina R., Courtney B., Ginger C., Kathleen O., Paula D., and Sherry K.B. Good morning, Gina.
Good morning, Mel. This is Gina R., gratefully recovered from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body, and a compulsive eater living in Green Valley, Arizona. And I wanted to also welcome any newcomers or people who may be not new but are wondering if they are ever going to have a voice and able to speak. And I just want you to know, I, for one, would love to hear from you. For me, anger plus defiance spelled danger. And that's pretty much how I lived most of my life. Just being defiantly angry. And I repelled so many people, so many situations. Did not set up a environment where I was attracting really anything. I just was repelling people. So as I went through this four-step process, it was a little scary for me because anger was really the only emotion that I knew. And for the most part, it worked for me because I really didn't want you around. I didn't want people around. I wanted the semblance that I had control and that I could arrange people, places, and things and keep you away from me. The closer you got, that meant that I would actually have to go to a place in my mind and my heart that was very unfamiliar territory for me, and I didn't know how to be in that, what I call it now, the soft place. But by going through this process and really embracing the set-aside prayer and just relinquishing the idea that I knew anything, I ended up having a spiritual experience that has resulted in my personality changing. And I am not walking around angry, even though there's plenty of stuff that a lot of people would say it'd be okay to be angry about. My situation right now is not taking on other people's anger and people trying to convince me that I shouldn't trust somebody or I shouldn't do this or I shouldn't do that. And what is the miracle for me today is that I can listen to them, but then I can also connect with my higher power and know that love and tolerance is my code. And even though there may be somebody that I quote-unquote shouldn't trust, it doesn't mean that I don't extend to them the same tolerance, pity, and patience that I would cheerfully grant a sick friend. And that's where I am today, and it confounds people who don't understand this. They do not understand how I can love and trust somebody that seemingly I shouldn't. That is a miracle of this program. So glad to be here with you all. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Gina R. Courtney B., you're next, and then Ginger will come after Courtney. Courtney, press
Courtney
star
B.
1 to be heard.
Yeah,
There you are.
I just did.
Hi.
There I am. Okay. Everyone, yay. Well, yay to anger, yay to resentment. Yes, it's a feeling that I used to numb myself out with food. I was taught I couldn't be angry. It was sinful. I'm a girl. I had no right to feel angry. Think of everybody who had so much worse. But I was freaking enraged. So grateful the sponsor said to me, get a rage sponsor. A lot of folks aren't comfortable with it. Find someone who can listen to you ranting and raving, because underneath the anger was hurt and cutting and things were done that I was hurt. But it was safer for me to feel anger. So I bought a baseball bat and I pound the pillow. I can't believe you said that. What a bitch. I can't believe she lied about me and it hurt all the relationships and she never caught boom, because it just gets stuck in my body. Move it. Now that I'm not binging, yes, I feel anger sometimes. Oh, yes. And then get it all out. Give it a voice. That's what I learned. Give it a voice. I'm so glad you're sharing this with me. Don't deny or minimize. It's okay to feel angry. But do it in a safe way that it doesn't hurt others. I don't have to spout out at you. I can go home and pound a pillow. The other thing I do, I get those bubble wrap things and I stomp. And then another thing a friend of mine does is he smashes plates. Boom. And then my heart is, okay, I was hurt. What might be going on? And that forgiveness, then the forgiveness can happen for me. Don't short circuit the process. And the other thing I learned is forgiveness is between me and God. It doesn't mean reconciliation. one of my family members' sister. Absolutely forgiven. I get it. But I deal with her through an attorney, just the way it's got to be. So I just love. Ooh, I know what to do now. I don't have to stuff my feelings down. Honor it, get it out in a safe place. And then forgiveness is pretty easy. Thanks. That's all I have to say.
Thanks so much, Courtney B. Ginger C., you're next, and then Kathleen.
Hi, good morning, Melanie. Thank you for your continued service. This is Ginger C., recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado. Just this beginning sentence, and I love the word if. All the ifs to me in the book are a warning. So if we were to live, and I know God wants me to live happy, joyous, and free. The book tells me that. We had to be free of anger. I cannot allow this emotion. It can happen and it will happen, but I need to work with it, and like someone just mentioned previously, in a healthy manner. So, you know, on the page before, it says we were sore and we were burned up, you know, because I was hurt or threatened, and this happens. But for me as an addict, you know, this molehill turns into a mountain. So I get angry, and then, of course, what do? But resend this emotion, this feeling over and over and over and over. And that's why it becomes like an avalanche, and I'm buried deep, and I cannot breathe. And all I am is walking around a pissed off person and thinking about this over and over. And what happens is I cut the sunlight of the spirit off. I have no power in between me and that bite that is so desperate to get back in each and every day. So even though I've had a few recovered days, it's just a daily reprieve. That is it. I am never good to go. I have to work it today harder than I did yesterday. That's how I try to keep at this fit spiritual condition, because I know the power of addiction and I know me. So, you know, I just love that we have these directions, though. And back on 19, I love this, that it says, most of us sense that real tolerance of other people's shortcomings and viewpoints and a respect for their opinions are attitudes which make us more useful to others. And isn't that my job each and every day, to perform God's work well? God, who would you have me be, and what would you have me do? And when I'm angry and pissed off, I am not connected to that source of power and love. And if anything, my heart is closing and shutting off to you and to, most important, God. So thank goodness it's only a daily reprieve. And how fortunate we are that we have directions. We have this book that solves all my problems. And the back of the book tells me the most important piece, too. Acceptance is the answer to all my problems today. So with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Ginger C. Kathleen O., you're next, and then Paula will come in.
Good morning, Melanie. Thank you so much, and thank you, everyone, for your great shares. This is so important for the addict, this information we have in here. This is Kathleen O., recovered compulsive overeater in Northern California. The grouch and the brainstorm were not for us. And sometimes I have to laugh at the archaic wording of this that they wrote back in the 30s. you know, the grouch, it's not the Sesame Street puppet. And brainstorm, it's not a group of people bouncing ideas off each other. The grouch in the big book means a fit of temper, and brainstorm means an outburst, vocalizing agitation. So agitation, resentments, being disturbed by other people's actions are not things I can harbor. I can't afford to have those types of things going on, or I'm going to eat. And when I find myself being disturbed or agitated or resentful towards another person, I take that pause that's on page 87. When agitated or doubtful, I pause and ask for the right thought or action. And I'm sort of become classically conditioned to that. It's like I immediately will stop now. It's just kind of a knee-jerk reaction now. Instead of reacting, I pause. And I tell you, it saves my day many, many, many times. And usually the thought and action is to go to my higher power and ask for patience, tolerance, and love. And if necessary, I say what I've heard is the angry person prayer. This is a sick man. How can I be helpful to him? God save me from being angry. Thy will be done. It's very short and sweet. And for me, it works almost every time. If it doesn't, I'll sit down and really write out the resentment and call someone. But, but you know, it doesn't make what someone did or said okay, but I can detach. And I need to detach, because if I don't, I'm going to eat again. And as we talked about yesterday, read yesterday, to eat is to die. You know, I'll die inside. And I actually like being in the sunshine of the Spirit. You know, resentments are like a big black cloud, and it can cover the sun. And then, you know, doom and gloom can follow. So these instructions are not always easy, but they are simple. And I do, every time I read this, because I wrote this note, I don't know, several years ago, Leia said something that I just found made me chuckle, and it still does today. Her analogy was, you know, if we're looking at the monkeys at the zoo, what they're doing, their behavior has nothing to do with us, but if they throw a banana, be sure to duck. And I think that's a great analogy, because that's kind of what it is out in life. You know, sometimes I get thrown a banana, and if I just duck, say this prayer, go to my higher power, things are okay. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Kathleen O. Paula D., you're next, and then Sherry.
Thank you, Melanie, and thank you for your service today. This would be Paula D., currently in Florida, recovered by and with the grace of God. Wow, this is like a packed paragraph of what life can be. And it says, it is plain that a life which includes deep resentment leads only to futility and unhappiness, to the precise extent that, now this is the word that stopped me, we permit these. Do we squander the hours? We. See, I thought it was you doing something to me that stopped me, so that because I had to sit there and be in anger and resentment, and it was me. There's the change. When I came to that place, people are people, humans are humans. Do we squander the hours that might have been worthwhile? Our own prison cell in Rhode Island, there's a beautiful zoo there, if you ever happen to go that way. And they had this most magnificent gorilla. And wow, that gorilla had the most beautiful, he passed last year, the most beautiful cage you would ever want for a gorilla. He got to swing. He got to. They fed him wonderfully because it was very, very hard to maintain the health of this gorilla, the silverback. But what you saw when he passed was what he looked out on every day. And every day he saw the green trees. He saw the grass. He saw life passing him by. I don't want to live like a gorilla. So if you want to stay in that cage with your fear and angry resentments, and this is what they did, this is what they did, and I've got to check my time here. But I want to go, and I'm going to zero down. If we were to live, we had to be free. See, he was still in the cage. We had to be free of anger. The grouch and the brainstorm were not for us. I was at the beach the other day walking a friend who's diagnosed with cancer, and we were walking, and what we saw was you could literally see the rainstorm, not the brainstorm, maybe perhaps, coming in, a whole gray cloud coming forward. Do you know what we did? We looked at that, and I says, come on, Bev, and we ran. We ran away from it. See, that's when you're so attuned in the spiritual realm that they talk about, and you are with the sunlight of the Spirit. When darkness approaches, you can see it. Run away, run toward. So there I will end, but I want to say this may be the dubious, and I like the word dubious, luxury of normal men. But for alcoholic, these things are poison. So we've got such line by line, word by word, beautiful words spoken, listening closely. Thank you again for allowing me this time to share. With that, I do pass.
Thank you, Paula D. Sherry KB, you're next, but I wanted to say that we are in the Big Book, Chapter How It Works, page 66, reading three paragraphs today, starting with paragraph 2, If We Were to Live. Thank you so much. Sherry KB, it's your turn.
Good morning, Melanie. Good morning, everybody at Sherry KB in Northern California. Very grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. Thank you so much for your service, Melanie, and everybody on the line. And I feel like we could spend a month on these pages. It's just great stuff and what people have shared. And I just want to jump in on what Kathleen Noe said. I appreciated that very much. I like that idea of Sesame Street and brainstorming instead of these, because these, when I looked them up, I love the Big Book Dictionary, by the way, and brainstorm means fits of rage, sudden violent disturbance of mind. That's a brainstorm. And grouch is one who is habitually irritable, grumbling, whining, sulking, complaining, sourpuss, complainer, fault finder, you name it. And so I think of, you know, brainstorm is anger and the rage actually is what I think of. And, you know, what I learned about myself, and it talks about how we're going to change our lives. So now we're going to turn, what's the key that's going to change my life is looking at all these resentments that I've carried around. And, you know, don't you know that I would act as though I didn't have any, you know, but I was internalizing so much stuff because I was such a people pleaser. And, you know, I didn't think I had resentments until I really got them down on paper. And, boy, when I started really looking at my part, and that's what we call the invisible column here, is what is my part in this, it was amazing to me. And what I so appreciated is that someone – in this group, part of OA, not apart from, taught me that resentment was reiterating myself, telling the story over and over again of something that happened to me a long time ago. And every time I told the story, it blew up more in my mind. And also, I was harming myself and harming other people. And sometimes that was my only part in something, in a resentment I was carrying around of, say, unacceptable behavior. And so what I learned to do is this four-step prayer, which is a sick man's prayer, is how can I be helpful to him? God, save me from being angry. Thy will be done. Them sick like me, spiritually sick. And so, you know, this opened up a whole new world for me. And just recently I've learned that dishonesty, that people-pleasing is dishonesty. And I never thought of that for years. And I just want to finish with a little Leah-ism myself. I heard that, you know, the monkey might be off your back, which means you're abstinent, but the circus is still in town. And unless you deal with this stuff, that circus is always going to be there. And that's what helps us so much. Doing the step work this way gets me closer to my higher power, because my higher power unblocks me. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Sherry KB. The line's now open for others to comment on those paragraphs on page 66. Paragraph 2, 3 paragraphs.
Donna W.
Leah S.
Robin S.
Wendy M.
Patty T.
Robin P.
Wendy.
Allison.
Connie F.
Okay, let's see what I have here. I think I have some folks here out of line, but I have Donna W. I have Leah S. I have Connie F., I have Wendy M., and I have Patty T.
Allison
Robin P.
Robin, I have just room for 5, it looks like, but we'll see what happens, okay, with the rest of you? So let's start with Donna.
Great.
And everybody
Hi, this
else,
is
if
Donna.
You press star 1, please.
Mm-hmm. Hi, this is Donna,
ahead, Donna
W. calling in. Can you hear me?
Mm-hmm.
This is Donna W. calling in from Palo Alto, California. So grateful to be abstinent and in recovery today. And boy, this is just perfect for me, because I'm going to be hanging out with my sister today, who is the grouch. And great. Hallelujah. I get to pray for her and cheerfully grant her the tolerance, pity, and patience that I would like, and be helpful to her. And I get to ask God to save me from being angry. So I'm glad to be reminded of that. And then also, what I notice for myself is that when I get angry, what happens, I guess, I don't allow myself to feel angry. So I hold it in, and then I get really depressed. So that's where I go. I get depressed, rather than express my anger. And then when I get depressed, I get very isolated, and food seems like the right solution. So I need to work this for myself too. It's not just the anger that I dump on other people and those resentments I dump on other people, but it's what I dump on myself. And you know, as others have shared, I get to express my anger appropriately because if I just hold it in and dump it on myself, that's a really bad place for me to be. I'm really grateful to be willing to be God-centered today. I'm really grateful that the food is quiet today and that there is a solution. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Donna W. Leah S., you're next, and then Connie F. will follow you.
Thank you so much, Melanie. This is Leah S., a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater from Brooklyn. So we read so many things, but I'm gonna focus on one word. The fourth step held the key to my future, the key to me maintaining this weight loss, the key for me maintaining this tranquility, the key for me maintaining the neutrality that I have and in relationships with people. On page 552, the whole paragraph says, I will pray for the person and I will be free. I will give them and I will be free. I don't want to, and yet I do it, and I will be free. It is amazing. It is amazing because anger is a luxury for people who can control themselves or who are super, super human, and I cannot. So I have to follow these steps. I have to do 10 steps. I have to constantly grow each and every single day to examine what else can I learn from my life and what else can I contribute to my life, to the people around me, to show love, because that's all that I can do. And then if I can do more, then kudos to you, Leah. And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Leah S. Connie F., like Frank, you're next, and then Wendy will come in behind you.
Good morning. This is Connie, recovering in Colorado. Can you hear me?
I sure can.
Oh, wonderful. So a few things have come up for me this morning. I love all the primate talk. I really appreciate all the shares. And it just reminded me when I first got abstinent, and I had all this anger coming up, and people would say, you can't be angry. It's the luxury, it's the dubious luxury of normal men. We're not angry. And yet I still had all this anger coming up because I wasn't shoving it down. And so what do you do with it? Here I am at the fourth step, and I'm like, well, I'm angry at these people. And so my sponsor gave me a bat and a pillow. And I started pounding out my anger and moving my body so that it got out of my system, or at least it started moving so that it could be channeled into this fourth step. And she put me right into page 83 where it says, we vigorously commence this way of living as we clean up the past. And that means that I started reading those pages so that I had a playbook of how to run my life so that I wasn't creating more havoc and needing to express this anger out in the world stage, but I would pause when agitated or doubtful, and then I could get back to my work. But it's not, you know, the good thing about feeling your feelings is you're feeling your feelings, and the bad thing about feeling your feelings is you're feeling your feelings. And what do we do with them? So the circus is still in town. I love that. With that, I'll pass. I really enjoyed this meeting. Thank you.
Thank you, Connie F. Wendy M., you're next, and then Patty will come in after you.
Yes, good morning, Wendy. Gratefully recovered, entirely abstinent this morning in Boulder, Colorado. Mel, thank you for your service and everybody on the line. And I also love this. And it first says, if we were to live. And it doesn't say if we were to just get by, or if we were to live a really small life, or if we were to live, you know, hiding under the bed. Because if we were to live, you know, happy, joyous, and free, full lives, three lives. But if we were able to do that, we had to be free of anger. And when I first read that, I remember this about 17 years ago, and I'm like, what? Free of anger? That makes me angry. And the other thing was, I grew up angry, but I couldn't be angry. I wasn't allowed to have, my mother had the market on anger, I guess, or somebody did. I never felt I could be angry, and that made me so angry, right? And so today, though, I understand what this is saying. You know, it's saying that, you know, I had a sponsor who said, you can kill people on paper. Just keep writing. Just keep writing. Or somebody just said, I have a bat, and I have a mat, and I have a place where I can literally get the air out of my body appropriately, taking responsibility appropriately. What I see this to mean for me is you don't get to just, like, pour your anger out on people. You don't get to just act out with your anger. But we do feel anger, and we have a way, a system, a design for living that we can deal with that anger in a responsible way, you know, in a way that gives me freedom from the anger rather than bondage to that anger. You know, so I understand that. And then the next part, we begin to see the world and its people really dominated us. And then it says, in that state, the wrongdoing of others stands either real, right? So I have stories from the very beginning that if you're willing to listen to them, which I'd love you to do, they're just going to tell you how harmed I've been my whole life and how other people have harmed me. And, you know, I would tell anybody who would listen. So fancied or real, you know, and I'm listening to four steps from beautiful fellows. And we get to keep seeing how we just make up these stories. I have stories that are not real. They're fancied, right? But they feel real to me. And if I can just convince you that they're real, and these are the stories I go by, you know, what my thoughts do, they then inform my actions, my behavior. So I just love that part. And then the spiritually sick or the sick man's prayer, it took me a long time. And honestly, I don't go to it enough. I'm still holding on. And that anger really for me is just pain, right? It's pain that I don't want to acknowledge. It's fear probably and pain that I don't want to acknowledge. And the minute, you know, God just says, sit down quietly, write a letter to me, tell me what's going on, then the tears come. And then the anger dissipates, right? It's a surrender. And we have this way, we have a design that shows us how to do this. And then finally, like, not only are they sick, but I get to call you guys and tell you that I'm sick, and we both laugh. Thanks. I'll pass.
Thank you, Wendy M. Patty T., you're next, and I think we might have time for one more person to share after Patty. Good morning, Patty.
Hi, Patty T. in Southern California, recovered compulsive overeater. You know, I'm so grateful for these shares today. I have learned so much. First of all, I did not know that there was a Big Book Dictionary, and I love that, and I want to get that. And then the other thing is the definitions of grouch and brainstorm. I appreciate that so much because that is exactly how I was living chronically over the last 6 years of my chronic relapses. You know, I might get some abstinence, and then, oh, my God, that resentment would come up and that anger. And then I would go into that story, and then I would start reliving that. And then the next thing you know, I was acting out. I was acting out in ways that I never imagined I would see myself or hear myself acting in public, like at work, like in front of people. Like it wasn't just in the food. I might have been technically abstinent at the time, but boy, I was giving everybody else a really hard time. And you know, these paragraphs show me exactly what to do. You know, it says, in that state, the wrongdoing of others, fancied or real, had power to actually kill. You know, kill for me is not just kill me physically, but kill me in my, kill my soul, kill the essence of who God made. And how could we escape? We saw that these resentments must be mastered, but how? That was my question when I came back to these phone meetings. How do I get rid of the state of mind, the seemingly hopeless state of mind and body? We could not wish them away any more than alcohol, any more than my food addiction. I could not just say, oh, I wish I didn't have this. The fact of the matter is, and I love the Leah phrase, the circus is still in town. The circus will always be available. All you got to do is buy the ticket, you know. And I bought ticket after ticket after ticket. And today, I don't have to do that. I don't have to live that way. And I'm so absolutely grateful. Grateful is a word that's not even big enough to express how grateful I feel. So thank you for letting me share, and thank you for your service. I'll pass.
Thank you, Patty T. Yep, looks like time will allow for one more person to comment on those paragraphs. Who would like to do that?
Allison C. Robin C.
I got Allison C. Thank you so much, everyone else. Allison, it's your turn and your time.
Hi, this is Allison C. From New Jersey, currently in Oregon. So I kind of tuned into this meeting because I'm on the Pacific time here. So this reading has a huge impact on me, and I am just loving every single one of these shares. And the message that I'm hearing and what I'm feeling from this reading is just that I can't afford to be angry. I cannot afford to let my emotions and feelings get too extreme. Of course, I'm entitled to have feelings. Like, we're human beings. We're allowed and entitled to have anger, but I'm not allowed to let it get to that point where I'm carrying it with me like, you know, a little bag with stones in it, and it's just going to weigh me down. And I love all these analogies that people are giving with gorillas and stuff. It's great. I was at a meeting last night, and I heard this really great message from this woman, and it was kind of similar to what we're reading here. And what she was saying was that, like, you know, it doesn't matter if she has, like, 10 years of recovery or one day. We live this program one day at a time, and so it's like, okay, today, here I am. This is what I'm doing. I'm doing it today. And then you walk out the door, and you're like, okay, there it is. I'm doing it again. I have to do this program again. And then you go down the steps and you walk out the front door and you're just faced with life. And it's like, okay, doing it again. I'm following through with what I need to do for my program every single day. And it doesn't matter if you're on day one or you have like 500 years of recovery, you have to do the same thing every single day. And for me, you know, I went out on a relapse, and biggest lesson I ever learned was that I have to be doing these 10 steps, and I can't let, you know, anger run my life. I have to constantly be in touch with my higher power, asking him to remove this and kind of get into the deeper meaning of it. And so kind of what that woman would have said about how it's like next, next, next. And it's like, I always have to be on alert for these character defects and for anger coming up. I have to constantly be aware of that. You know, I got frustrated when I was flying and I didn't 10 step it. And then I'm on the flight, like, just like steaming. And that would send me back to the food. That will absolutely send me back to the food if I let that steam come out of my ears. So I have to maintain this balance. And the only way that I can maintain that balance is to really, on a daily basis, connect with my higher power, be doing 10 steps, connecting with all of you men and women in recovery, and just keep on doing what this big book says. And I think that this page is one of the, that and page 552 is one of the most important things, because we can be anywhere at any time, and we can just simply say to our higher power, no matter where we are at in our recovery, we could do it if we're in step one, God save me from being angry. And ask to, you know, pray for this person, because I think, you know, there's a lot of sick people out there that do not have the luxury and benefit of being able to be open to doing this program, whether they're addicts or not. I think the whole world could use this program. So thank you for letting me share, and I hope everyone has a wonderful day. Thank you.
Thank you, Allison C. And that will end the recorded portion of our sharing today. We will go into the closing of this recorded portion just now, but stick around. We have meeting and greeting to do for the last 10 minutes and announcements to go as well. So thank you to everyone that shared today. We will close then with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, and then we'll follow that by the Serenity Prayer. Sherry KB, would you please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who's still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.